The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Today, we enter Holy Week, a unique chapter in the life of the church. We are always participants in God's story that is ever unfolding in the world. But this week, Time collapses and we become participants in the original story of God's saving grace. We walk the way of the cross with Jesus. Entering into the drama itself is one way to receive more fully the grace and the love of God. Recently, a couple of our preachers invited us to imagine what might have been in the mind of one or more of the central figures in the scripture story that day, which got me to thinking about Jesus and wondering what was in his mind. What was on his mind and in his heart as he set his face toward Jerusalem in those last days? What was it like for him waking up on the morning that he knew he would be entering into Jerusalem? I've imagined him having that experience I've only had a few times in my life, when you begin coming awake and before you even have conscious thoughts, there's this heavy feeling of existential dread that washes over you. I remember feeling that way when I woke up the morning after my mother died. At first, you don't even remember why, but you have a hollow feeling in the pit of your stomach, and then it all comes rushing back. I wonder if that was what it was like for Jesus as he woke up that morning. He already knew he was going to be handed over to the Romans, mocked, treated shamefully, spit on, flogged, and killed. More than once, he had warned his disciples that these things would happen. So on that morning, as he goes through the ordinary motions of the day, eating breakfast, talking to his friends, walking with them along the road, what was in his heart and mind? What was it like for him that even his closest companions so often misunderstood him? And knowing that the suffering ahead was his alone to bear, is he filled with loneliness? I wonder what it was like for him to be greeted by the crowds as he entered Jerusalem. Janet McKenzie, in her introduction to her Stations of the Cross series of paintings, which are displayed here in the church, McKenzie describes the sounds in the city that day as the exuberant din from the gathered masses and street noise made by excited children and barking dogs that surely assaulted Jesus' mind and thoughts. The sounds of life soon to be denied him. End of quote. Did he feel grief over what he would lose? Did he feel compassion and love for the people lining the streets? Did he have moments of apprehension? What sort of resolute conviction did he have that compelled him to keep on walking farther into the city, knowing what lay ahead? We just read a portion of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. 7 verses that are known as the Christ hymn. In it, Paul says that the Son of God emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. A slave is one whose life is given over to the will of the master, conformed entirely to someone else's plan. The Son of God made the choice once to be born in human form, but I imagine Jesus had to choose over and over every day in the face of every new challenge to conform his will to that of his father. Such discipline. But it must also have been such love. Otherwise, why would you? If you did not have love, deep, compelling love, why would you give yourself over to suffering and death? I won't compare Volodymyr Zelensky or anyone else to Jesus, but we do see and hear every day of people in Ukraine who give themselves over to something other than themselves, risking everything, even life itself. What compels someone to do that? I can only imagine that it is both great love and deep conviction that the outcome will be something profoundly important, something so much bigger than yourself. Richard Rohr says, and I quote, "The cross was Jesus' voluntary acceptance of undeserved suffering as an act of total solidarity with the pain of the world. That necessary dying is what the soul must walk through to go higher, farther, deeper, or longer." End of quote. By submitting to the cross, Jesus opened the way not only for himself, but for the entire creation to have life. Abundant life, now and forever, with God, the life that would not have been possible otherwise. As Jesus walked through Jerusalem that day, I wonder if the words of today's psalm were in his mind. He would have known many of the psalms by heart. I wonder if these very words were on his lips as he trudged that dusty road. Listen again to these verses of the psalm, this time from Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible known as The Message. "Be kind to me, God. I'm in deep, deep trouble again. I've cried my eyes out. I feel hollow inside. My life leaks away, groan by groan. My years fade out in sighs. My troubles have worn me out, turned my bones to powder. To my enemies, I'm a monster. I'm ridiculed by the neighbors. My friends are horrified. They cross the street to avoid me. They want to blot me from memory. Forget me like a corpse in a grave. Discard me like a broken dish in the trash. The street talk gossip has me criminally insane. Behind locked doors, they plot how to ruin me for good. Desperate, I throw myself on you. You are my God." End of quote. Desperate, I throw myself on you. You are my God. If Jesus knew what lay ahead, it's possible he felt desolate and alone. But it's also possible he felt something else. After all, he had a relationship with God that was like no other. Perhaps as he moved closer and closer to the cross, his connection to God came more fully alive, was deepened and strengthened, and perhaps at the same time, God moved toward Jesus, closer and closer, giving more of God's self to Jesus, such that the power of God's presence and Jesus' connection to God grew and intensified. The invitation of this holy week and of every day's unique service is to walk with Jesus, to open our hearts and our minds in a deeper way to what Jesus' life and suffering, his death and resurrection means for us and for the world. Joan Chittister, in her introduction to the Stations of the Cross that's written for the art that we have on display, says that walking the way of the cross, we have the opportunity to find this, and I quote, "In the life of Jesus, a deeper model of how to deal with the torment, the loss, the rejection, and the injustice that are weighing us down, crushing our spirits, challenging our faith." End of quote. In this holiest of weeks, we have the opportunity to receive what Chittister calls, and I quote, "Jesus' last great gift to the church." When he shows us what it means to lose everything in life and still go on to more of it. End of quote. May we indeed find that gift as we walk this holy week with Jesus.
Wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.